Now the time came for Elizabeth to be delivered, and she gave birth to a son. And her neighbors and kinsfolk heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise a child, and they would have named him Zechariah after his father, but his mother said, "Not so, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your kindred is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all marveled. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" For the hand of the Lord was with him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Church celebrates a special feast day in honor of the birth of St. John the Baptist. And St. John the Baptist occupies a very important place in history, and particularly in regard to what we call salvation history, the work of God in saving his people and manifesting his plan of love and his covenant of communion with the Most Holy Trinity. St. John the Baptist is a bridge between the old covenant, which began with Abraham, and the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. In regard to the Bible, he is the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. St. John the Baptist is the final prophet that God ever sent to the world. After John the Baptist comes the Messiah, the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ, incarnate of the Virgin Mary. St. John the Baptist is quite a mysterious character. Not much is known about him, but we do know enough about him. The beginning of the Gospel of St. John the Evangelist sums up the life of John the Baptist very well. The Evangelist said, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light." That basically sums up the life and the mission of St. John the Baptist. He came to testify to the light. What is this light? It is not a something, it is a someone. His name is Jesus Christ, the true Son of the Father, the Son of the Virgin Mary. He is the light of the world, the light that shines in the darkness, the light that is the life of the human race. No darkness can overcome the light who is Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, in his teaching, in his very life, points to the light. He tells people, "This man, Jesus Christ, is the light that shines in the darkness." The entire life of John the Baptist is caught up in this mission of pointing to the light. It's as if he's telling the people, following the way of Jesus Christ is your only way to truly live, your only way to have peace and to have happiness and to have eternal life. We must live on the way of Jesus Christ. Now, the light of Christ will not be overcome by the prince of darkness. The light of Christ is all-powerful. No darkness can overcome this light. This is the truth. John the Baptist knows this. He proclaims it. He wants us to know this. And we have absolute confidence in this, that the light of Christ is all-powerful and all-good and all-loving. However, in the person of John the Baptist, we also have a warning. Yes, the light of Christ will never be overshadowed by the darkness of evil. It will always shine bright. But the warning is that we, ourselves, each of us, can be dragged into the darkness. We can lose our share in the light of Christ. We can fail to live in the light of Christ and thus fail to truly live, fail to have peace and happiness in our lives, and fail to have the eternal life in heaven that comes from the light who is Jesus. If we are not in the light of Christ, if our lives are not anchored in, if they are not immersed in the light of Christ, oh, we'll be alive, but really we're dead. We're dead spiritually. We're among the walking dead. If we are not in the light of Christ, we might be relaxing, but in our soul we are agitated. We are not peaceful, not at rest. Many people try to drown out the sort of agitation of their soul by all kinds of things in life that really enslave them. but it's because they're not in the light of Christ that they don't have this peace. Oh, if we're not in the light of Christ, we might be excited about this or that pleasure in this world, but inside we are lacking the happiness that alone comes from the grace of Christ. In this sad state, we could end up blaming the world or our circumstances for our difficulties. John the Baptist's warning is clear to us, and we must heed it. It is sin that is the problem. Sin is the problem. It is by our own sins that we can drag ourselves out of the light and immerse ourselves into the darkness. And this can happen forever. We'd be cast out in the outer darkness by our own free choice, by our sins. John the Baptist doesn't want this for us, and neither does the Lord Jesus. His entire life is consecrated to this purpose, to lead people out of the darkness into the light of Jesus, out of the darkness of sin into the light of God's grace. This is why he tells us to repent. In fact, John the Baptist will be killed, he'll be martyred, for calling someone to repent of the sin of adultery. He will die for calling one man, a corrupt politician, by the way, to repent of the sin of adultery. Now think about this. Either John the Baptist is foolish and totally unwise, or he is full of wisdom, the wisdom of God. Either he is lost and confused and is caught up in the wrong cause, or he is 100% right when he calls this man to repent of adultery. Adultery seems, the world will tell you, not like a big deal, but it's a sin, it's a terrible sin, and it wreaks havoc in its wake. St. John the Baptist is telling one man, repent of adultery, and he will lay down his life for this call. He's right. He's right in doing this. The call to repentance is often met with discomfort. You and I know this, that if someone comes up to us and says, hey, you better repent, you're a bad sinner, you're on the wrong path, we feel a sense of guilt. We feel very uncomfortable when someone does this. We don't like that. We don't even like to acknowledge our own sins, but we must. Let us understand, though, the full context of St. John the Baptist's call to repentance, both with his words and with the sacrifice of his life. John the Baptist is calling us, ultimately, to live in Christ, to live in the light of Jesus. He's not just saying, repent, you're bad, look at your sins, you're no good. No, that's what the devil does. The devil accuses us of our sins. He's called the accuser of the brethren. And all he wants to do is to say, look how bad you are. You're not worthy of God's mercy. You can never be forgiven. That's the voice of evil. St. John the Baptist has the voice of goodness. He calls us to repent so that we will live in the grace of divine mercy. We will live in Jesus, walk in Jesus, and live in him for all eternity in the light of heaven. He's telling us to repent to move us into this living relationship with Christ, which gives us happiness, peace, and real life. We are not made for the darkness of sin. No, we're made for the light of Christ. We're made to walk in holiness of life. That's the truth. That's the nature of the human person. Sin is never good for us. It never is. All through human history, sin has never made anyone's life's journey any better. It always makes it worse. This is true for everyone. Sin always makes life worse. It's true for men and women, for laypersons, for priests, for leaders and politicians, for the humble, for workers, for all kinds of people, for husbands and wives. Sin makes things go from good to bad and bad to worse. St. John the Baptist knows this. He knows that sin is bad for us, that it's inimical to our own happiness, that it ruins relationships, that it damages the church and wreaks havoc in the world. People don't like John the Baptist. They don't like to accept him. But look around the world. All the problems in our world today, the breakup of the family and of marriages, violence in our streets, corruption in all parts of the world, even within the church in some circles, corruption in the mass media and in the government, wars all over the world. What's behind it all? It's sin. Sin is behind all of this evil in the world. And not some ambiguous reality, like the ambiguous sin of the world. No, personal sins. Sins piled up one after the other leads to a very terrible experience in life. It's like ushering in the darkness over the human family. Sin brings in the darkness over families, over marriages, over parts of the church, over nations, over the world. Sin is the number one problem. Leads us into the darkness and out of the light. St. John the Baptist won't have that. He tells us to repent so that we can live in the light of Jesus. We should see, each of us, that our biggest problem in our lives is our own sins. Not the sins of others, but our own sins, and we should repent of them. Sin, though, is not the only problem in our lives. You know that. There are many other problems we can face. But when we are in the light of Christ, we can face the difficulties of this life's journey with far greater courage, with far greater serenity, knowing that we are on the winning team. When we are in the light of Christ, we have more courage in facing the problems of life. When we're in the darkness, we don't know where to begin. Dear brothers and sisters, in our life's journey, may John the Baptist be our guide. Between here and the finish line of our life's journey, we shall each face many temptations to sin and to despair. Let us remember St. John the Baptist and honor him by living in the light, who is Jesus Christ, the Lord. Jesus Christ, who knows us and who loves us dearly. God bless you.